Hey guys, it's Amanda, and this is the Uncomfortable Soul. I'm trying to record these episodes as I feel moved to do them. And part of this is like something that I learned just with my energy type. I watched my friend do business and really talk about how she did her business along with being her energy type. And so that's what I'm trying to do with this podcast. Not that I'm trying to turn this podcast into a business. I don't know that I really have an ideal for what I want this podcast to be. I want this podcast to just hold space for people to talk about things that I grew up believing was inappropriate to talk about out loud. And inappropriate is a very sophisticated word for what I believed it to be. You just didn't talk about these things. If you talked about these things, bad things would happen, was basically my belief system around it. But all of that to say, I am recording them as I feel moved to around particular subjects. And this morning I woke up and, I'm trying to debate if I'm gonna nap when my son naps or what I'm gonna do. And, I felt moved to record a podcast episode. And what I kept feeling moved to do is to talk about what my truth is. Like, what is truth? And what does that look like for me? How did I learn to find truth? And so I get home from getting my son down for a nap and I open up good old TikTok and this video comes on. It's by King ADE and it's called Quantum Reflection and Self-Love. And the video is titled Never, or subtitled, whatever it's called, Never Forget Why You Started. And the video is basically starts with him on the phone discussing, I assume, a book that he's writing. And it sounds like someone's trying to get him to cut a certain part. And he says, no, like that is such an important part of the journey that has to be there. And then it cuts to his younger self. And his younger self is like, we made it. You're doing it. We're writing stories and you can see his current self like realizing that even though it's difficult what he's going through right now and he's having to fight for it and maybe even necessarily it doesn't look like what he thought it was going to, his younger self is like, holy shit, we did it. Or you did it. And he says, we did it back to the younger self. And he's talking about how he is just tweaking the story that his younger self wrote. And basically, what I got from the whole video is that he is everywhere that his younger self like fought to be. And that's like, that really solidified for me that I want to talk about truth today. Of like what my truth is. So when I was younger, and I've talked about this on multiple episodes, but when I was younger, I thought to make it in life, you got married, you had a kid, and you've got a picket white fence. And it's like just so significant that I always held on to the picket fence part. Because now I'm 32 and I'm married and I have a son. And last summer, or the summer before, I can't remember, we needed a fence out front so we could let our dog and our kid play. We live on a very busy road. And so we took scrap wood that we found because money's tight, And we couldn't afford to like buy a new fence or, buy the regular to do it. So we took scrap wood and we cut it all down, my partner and I, and we made a picket fence. We have white paint. I haven't painted it. It's breaking down because I didn't paint it, but I'm here, I'm here. So that is a truth, right? For me, like that's what I desired so deeply, and here at 32, I have it. But when I tell you, like, I thought in baby brain, little baby Amanda, once we had those things, that everything in life would be okay. And it's not okay. There's a lot that isn't okay or acceptable that happens in my life, but it is okay and acceptable. Like, I say that, but I can sit here on my couch and tell you that all of my dreams have come true. So many things that I wished for. And I watched a TikTok, I don't know, probably like 6 months ago, from Mariah, on TikTok. I adore her. She wrote a video about how, or she had a video where she talked about how everything that her younger selves, different versions of herself desired, she had. And, I would like a farm now. You know, my current self has dreams that we haven't accomplished yet. But a lot of the dreams, right, that I had when I was younger, I've accomplished. And that's such a big deal in so many ways because it shows me that I can reach those dreams that I have now. It's just different. Growing up, I really just saw things as black and white, and there was no difference, right? So, like, my belief system had to align with your belief system, and we had to both believe that stealing was wrong. And when we look at that, when I look at that now, right, when I was 10, 15, whatever, I saw things as black and white. And I remember being like 17 and arguing with one of my friends and just being like, the world is black and white. It's right or wrong. And he was like, it's not, Amanda. It's so many shades of gray. Like, what are you talking about? And for a second, my inner voice was like, is he right? But I needed him to be wrong. I needed to be able to define everything in the universe, put it into a little box, and say, this is acceptable, this isn't, this isn't. And I needed that because I wasn't safe. Like, I didn't know what was safety. I didn't know anything. I was so riddled by fear 24/7, 24/7. So I could never trust my own beliefs. I could never trust my own thoughts. I felt like I needed to validate my truths through someone else's truth. And it was just picking someone else's belief system and holding on to that. And, you know, again, if we look back of me being an energetic reflector, blah, 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 like that's to do with it. And I think that energy and spirit and religion and all of these different things that we use to figure out what is right or what is wrong and what my belief system and is how I just like carry myself and all of that. I believe that all of them are right. I think that there's, it all boils down to different stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I think that it's all due to our own interpretation. So I'm talking about this because I'm sitting here saying that I was constantly trying to adapt other people's belief systems as my own and energetically as a reflector, that's what my energy does. But I believe that I should still have my own belief system. I should still have my own thoughts and all of these things, even though I'm a reflector. I am not a hole in the donut, right? So, either way, so I spent my whole life trying to make other people's belief systems my own. And that was because to feel safe, I felt like I needed to fit in, I needed to conform. You know, if I agreed with you that brown was the favorite color when it came to a situation where brown was involved, I automatically had an ally. I knew your belief system behind, brown, which is so this is a very simplistic, example, but that's how it worked for me. For me to stay safe, I needed to have allies. And so I never learned to trust my own voice and trust my own belief systems of what felt right and what didn't feel right. And I think as I got older, I started to realize that it was more important. I started to take responsibility for my own actions and belief systems and all of these things because growing up, I went through a lot, like human to human, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter whose fault it was or what happened or any of that, but I went through a lot. And so I grew up believing that somebody had to take the responsibility for it. Like somebody had to be wrong and somebody had to pay for it. And, I was trying to make sense of everything that happened. And so when I started to realize that even if it was somebody's fault, it still didn't make me feel better, I had to start taking responsibility for my choices. And taking responsibility for my choices helped me grow through what happened because it's easier to learn to trust myself to make the right decisions when the outcomes that I grew up experiencing stopped happening. I feel like I even kind of got lost in the middle of that explanation. So I hope that that really got it, got the point across. So, where does this tie into finding my truth? It was last summer, I think. I like felt like I had like an entire psychic break. Psychic break, that's not what I meant to say. Like psychotic break. I love that I said psychic instead of psychotic. So, I had like this whole psychotic break last summer. And when I say that, I guess I should be very clear. That's what it felt like to me. And when I say psychic break, I mean I was having a lot of panic at nighttime. And I felt like I was making decisions that were going to put me and my family in harm. And I felt like I was being wild and crazy. And the reason that I felt like that, though, was because I was making decisions completely different than any decisions I had ever made in my life. And what felt like I felt like I didn't watch anybody make the decisions that I was making last summer. You know, I was doing crazy things, like taking my business into new places and packing up all my stuff and driving to farmers markets at 8 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I was stopping interacting with relationships that were really unhealthy for me, and I was making crazy decisions like putting bids on houses to buy. And while those all are quote unquote normal decisions, right? Sitting here today in 2024, looking back, I'm like, yeah, Amanda, you were mentally sound. If anything, you were doing a ton of mental growth. So, of course, it was so uncomfortable. But when you're going through it, when I was going through it, it was so hard for me to trust that I wasn't mentally ill because I've been mentally ill my entire life. You know, I've been riddled with anxiety and depression and fear and all of these things my entire life. But I really believe a lot of those things were rooted in being told growing up that my truth wasn't true. You know, and this goes into when you're a kid and right, so when my kid like falls and hurts himself, I don't say, "It's okay, buddy. You're okay." I don't know if he's okay. I don't know if the situation's okay. I didn't experience it. And so if we look at that example of the small things when we're toddlers and we fall and we hurt ourselves, and another adult is telling us how to interpret the situation, I automatically learn to not trust my own voice. Because as a 3-year-old, when you whack your head on something really hard and it hurts really bad, of course your brain's gonna say, "I'm not okay." Are you serious? Of course, that fight or flight, whatever, like your instincts have kicked in, you have been injured, right? So for my son, you know, I'm doing my best to let him have his reactions that are authentic and just support him in it. And so now today, so he's 3, right? And when he falls, I take a deep breath and then I say, "You good? Everything okay?" I ask him how he is in that situation. And I would say probably 70% of the time, he just gets up and he's like, "I'm good. I'm good." Because I've allowed him to decipher how he is. Now, today he fell and he hit his hip on the door and it looked like it hurt. You know, like it looked like a Charlie horse situation. He cried really hard. He cried really hard for longer than he usually does. And I just held him and I deep breathed and I asked him, "How are you feeling? Can I look at it? Do you want me to kiss it?" You know, and sometimes I do get a little pushy when he's crying. I'm his mom. I want him to be okay. But for the most part, I try to stay back and let him experience it. Because, right, you and I love that I just do this like I'm talking to someone specific. But I guess if you're listening to this, I'm specifically talking to you. If you and I walk into a situation, we walk into a bright room and the sun's coming in and it's really, really bright on the right side of the room, but on the left side of the room, it's not super bright. We both walk into that room. I'm on the right, you're on the left. that room is going to be much more jarring to my senses than what yours is. You know, and it's a very slight difference, but our initial reaction is probably going to be much different. And that's life, right? Like, that's the perception. That's my human experience. That's my whole point in being here, I believe. I'm here to experience things. And I heard something. I don't know. I listen to a ton of like spiritual podcasts and shit like that because I'm constantly trying to learn and figure out what my truth is, you know? And that's what I want to end this podcast with. Like, we'll get to all of the spiritual stuff that I digest. But they said it was something like, oh, well, when I get to heaven, I hope it's worth it. And God was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, I'm spending all of this time banking all these brownie points on earth. You know, I'm being so kind to all these people. You know, like, I hope heaven's really great when I get there. And God's like, what are you talking about? That is heaven. You're not banking points so that way you can live in the afterlife fucking drinking margaritas. You're being kind to people right now, and you're getting that interaction of them being genuinely grateful that human to human we're having kindness. Like, that's heaven, bro. That's it. That's what you get. And man, it hit me. I remember when I, God, what I don't remember what it was, but I remember sitting, I was at a stop sign taking a left, and I remember processing it and being like, damn. That makes a lot of sense. Like, that makes a ton of sense. I can get down with that. That makes sense to me. So I'm here. I'm having this human experience and I'm trying to find my truth. Last summer was a wild time for me. I did a lot of spiritual studying and experimenting, and I met so many spiritual people and shared so many experiences. I bet I did 200 tarot readings last year. That could be dramatic. I should have counted. I did a lot though, a lot of tarot readings for people, and man, it was just such a beautiful experience. And I was able to start, so to find my truth, right? So I last summer I'm doing a lot of tarot reading, and I start doing Akashic Records learning and readings and stuff with Caroline. So she's talking about this exercise of where you can feel when you're telling a lie, right? Like, say something out loud, say like a truth, and then say a lie, and like you can feel the difference. And I've heard about this from multiple people. This woman Rebecca that I adore, she talks about it though almost like there's a resistance from spirit when you say things out loud that's not the truth. And man, I feel that, Lord, I feel that. And when I first heard that, I was like, wow, that makes a ton of sense. And so I started practicing and I started paying attention to when I spoke to people and anytime I used my voice, you know, because I believe that there's a magic in your voice. My voice is different than anyone else's voice. And when I put energy out into the universe, that matters. You know, look at the experiments they do with like the plants and the rice and where they say anything but positive and anything in negative. And one, they did one of just touching it, like with touching the outside of the jar, not even talking to it or putting music up to it, and just holding it and thinking negative thoughts. The one got all moldy and gross. So I learned this about using your voice and being able to tell the difference between speaking truth and speaking not truth. And as I paid attention, it helped me a lot in my readings, right? And it helped me decipher between my intuition and fear, and which that's a big one for me of learning how to trust my truth is to learn the difference between my intuition and fear. And because I think that they're very closely related in many different instances. You know, I have instances where there's no intuition and it's only fear, and only intuition and no fear. But a lot of the time, it's a gray area. I have my intuition and my fear working together to keep me alive. Right? That's the whole point of ego, is to keep me alive. So all of this is happening at the same time last year, right? I'm doing these readings, I'm devouring all of this spiritual content, I'm taking myself places I've never been, I'm doing expos, I'm doing farmers markets, I'm a town gypsy at a local Old West cowboy town. I'm trying to sort out my marriage. I'm learning how to develop friendships in a healthy manner. I'm walking away from relationships that are super toxic for me. And so you can imagine, right? Why I felt like I was having a psychotic break. You can imagine why that was a lot for my brain. And all the while pulling myself out of fight or flight on a regular basis, which, right, all circles back to I can pull myself out of fight or flight when I can learn to trust my own voice, when I can trust my intuition, because I'm learning how to navigate life and keep myself safe, not worry about someone else keeping me safe. As children, right, as a child, I'm gonna do my best to keep this where I'm only talking about me because I never want to sound preachy. Best believe I know that I am fully human, which means I'm gonna make mistakes, I'm gonna say the wrong stuff, I'm gonna make an ass of myself because I'm human, okay? Anyways, as a child, I was at the mercy of other adults to keep me safe. And, you know, we live in America. So there's not a ton of us that actually grow up in a safe environment. You know, and generation to generation, for real, my parents, they did great. Yeah, I had a much different childhood than what my parents did, and I'm very grateful for it. But the fact of the matter, if we look at it black and white, I still grew up in fight or flight. It took until fucking my 30s to be able to sort out what safety feels like. So, I had this woman that I met last year, and she was like the first in person that I'd like come into contact that was like really in the spiritual world. And I was like, "How do you trust your intuition?" And she said, "You have to trust that it's not always right. It's just not always right." And because I had that black and white thinking, I felt like if my intuition wasn't right, I was not doing enough. And it's funny, I was literally just talking to a friend about this yesterday, about how I've always believed that if I felt any negative emotion, it meant I wasn't doing the right thing, or I wasn't doing enough, or I needed to change something, or I was being punished. And it's just like that's how my brain was wired. So that was my truth, right? My truth was when I was sad, I was doing something wrong. When I was angry, I was doing something wrong. And when we look at what my truth is today, is when I'm angry, it's because I'm human. I am having a human experience. When I'm sad, it's because I loved deeply. You know, when I'm jealous, it's because I'm insecure. When I'm, overwhelmed is a really hard one for me because when I get really overwhelmed, I immediately go to like self-sabotage. And so, luckily, it was 2 summers ago, I called a friend and I was like, "Hey, I like really want to use a particular thing that helps me get more done in a small amount of time." We can all use our imagination here. And, you know, at that point in time, I hadn't done that in 6 years and I didn't want to do it, but my body was like physically craving it. So I called a friend and I was like, "Hey, this is happening and blah, 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 and this and that." And I was trying to explain how I don't really want to use because I felt like it said something less about me, right? I must not be doing something right if I want to do this thing. And she says to me, so calm, "It just sounds like you're overwhelmed, Amanda." "What? Are you fucking kidding me right now? It sounds like you are overwhelmed." Changed my life. It changed my life in that instance. Instant. Instant. It changed my life in that instant. Or instance. Unclear. Anyways, grammar's not my strong suit. So, from then on out, right? A lot of the times when I get overwhelmed, instead of going to, "I'm doing something wrong," or "I need to change something because I'm being punished, I'm not enough," I realize that it's a lack of self-care. Why am I overwhelmed? I'm doing too much. I'm currently really overwhelmed. I'm super burnt out. I really pushed myself a lot last year, and I wasn't expecting. When you pull yourself out of fight or flight, it turns out there is an energy balance that you have to keep to without going back into fight or flight on a regular basis. And I've known since Sunday. Sunday, I planned alone time, and I took some of it, but It wasn't what I needed. And it's now Thursday. And I planned on taking self-care Tuesday night, and spirit came in, and that's like a thing for another episode, how spirit just like literally schedules my life. It's wild how it happens. But I had two really beautiful people at my house Tuesday night, and they weren't supposed to be here. It all happened very quickly, and it was really awesome. So I didn't take my alone time on Tuesday night. And even further, Liz was doing breaks all night, so I full mommed all of Tuesday night. And last night we had a play date, which was nice. I loved it, but I'm still not meeting that need that I have. That I haven't even really quite figured out what it is. I just know that I need out of the house, and I need to not be responsible for other human beings. So I'm taking that time tonight. I have to, because when I don't, I get really mentally unstable really quickly. And when I say mentally unstable, I just mean like my anxiety and my intrusive thoughts really start to take over, and then that voice of saying that I'm a piece of shit starts to get louder, and it's easier to listen to it. So I have to make sure that when I'm getting overwhelmed, I just do more for myself, right? It's not that I'm doing something wrong or anything like that. That's my truth today. Like, I'm learning all these different truths about myself. When I'm overwhelmed, I need more self-care. My intuition isn't always going to be right, but for the most part, I keep myself in out of dangerous situations compared to what I used to. And I engage with people. Another really big truth that I held my whole life was like, blood's thicker than water. What's the full saying of that? Blood is thicker than water, but the covenant of, I don't fucking know. But the point of it is, to me, my takeaway of that is like the family that you choose is just really important. And for me, again, being a reflector, but I also believe it's for all human beings, is water seeks its own level. That's a huge truth for me. I will become the six closest people that I am close to. And unfortunately slash fortunately, those six people change. It's an ebb and flow. And, I talk about it a lot in my podcast episode of attachment versus connection, that those people, my connections with people change on a regular basis, who I'm connected to, what we're experiencing together, what we're sharing. And I really believe that's like the web of life, right? Like, that's just how it goes, is sometimes I'm closer to other people because I'm on a different journey on a regular basis. So anyway, so that's a truth of mine, is that whereas that truth used to look like for me, that your blood family comes first and nothing else. Everybody else is replaceable. And, having my son and being able to look at our family structure, which I'm sure I'll tell that story someday, but to have the family structure that we have and see the connection that my partner has with my son and my son has with my partner and what the three of us have together, that's a family. That's a family to me, and we're not perfect by any means. Growth is not pretty. Let's be really clear. Growth is not pretty. It's beautiful. It's not graceful all the time. My current is not graceful right now, that growth that I'm going through. But it's just more truth finding. I'm just finding what different truths are for me. And I think a really important part of finding my own truth is like reserving the space for myself to change my mind. Like, I have to always be willing to learn. And to be willing to learn means I need to be regularly questioning my belief systems. And that's a big reason that I like just devour so much spiritual information, and I just want to hear everybody's story, and I want to hear experiences, and that goes into my human design too, of like being a storyteller, a story keeper. But I just love learning about people and places and things, and I help decipher my truth out of that. And so what I do is finding my truth. So if we bring it into like a physical feeling of how I feel my truth, what I was talking about earlier about you can tell when you tell the truth and when you tell a lie. I cannot believe I'm going to share this. So, there's like clairaudience, clairsentience, all of these things. So there's a clair, I don't know what it's called, but where you taste things. And for me, when I taste it, it's not like somebody's trying to, the universe is trying to communicate with me and I taste blueberry muffins. That's not what it is for me. what it is that when I get information, somebody will tell me something about their belief system and spirit, and I will be able to tell on the back of my tongue and also in my solar plexus whether that is my truth and what like percent of it is true for me, if that makes sense. So somebody can tell me, a whole story of their belief system, and half of it I can connect to and be like, okay, I see how my perspective, my perception, my experiences connect with half of that. And so for my reality, right, this is my truth. And I'm not sitting here going to be like, oh, well, NPCs and blah, 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 all of this. But I truly believe that we all have our own perception and our own reality. And what I was talking about earlier of, like the light and the dark in the room, that is for everything for me. My belief system is going to be different than yours. And I believe that belief systems, there's so many different versions of it, because I think that spirit needs to make itself digestible for who it's trying to reach. So there it is. That's my current reflection on my truth and how I've used my truth to be a puzzle piece of pulling myself out of fight or flight and being able to move forward. And it's still really uncomfortable to not reach out to others to use their belief system to make my decisions based on. I just had a situation the other day where I wanted to take, I felt moved to take care of a particular situation in a particular way. And I was gonna call, like, my first instinct was to call and run it by somebody. And then I was like, nope. And I just take care of the situation from start to end, without asking for help or this or that or leaning on people for emotional support through. I just did it and it went great. There's usually backlash. There wasn't backlash. Just the situation just moved forward. And so, right, my truth is feeling these little energetics. Boop, do this. Okay, cool. And then I do it. And that's why I'm recording this episode, So here we are. I feel like I'm at the end of it. I don't feel really moved to say much more, which is wild because my child just woke up from his nap. So it is all divine timing. Hi, buddy. So, thanks for listening to another episode of The Uncomfortable Soul.